John chapter 9, verse 1 to 12, Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors, who had formerly seen him begging, asked, "Isn't he the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said.
I'm going to read John chapter 9, verse 24 till 38. "A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. 'Give glory to God by telling the truth,' they said, 'we know this man is a sinner.' He replied, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.' Then they asked him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered, 'I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?' Then they hurled insults at him and said, 'You are this fellow disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from.' The man answered, 'Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.' To this, they replied, 'You were steeped in a sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out." Spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and he found him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Thank
you. Thank you, Alan and Amy. So friends, this is a wonderful story, isn't it, of what happened when someone who could not see met Jesus. And we've heard the sum of that story read to us just now. We didn't read the entire story, but do read through the rest of chapter 9. And as with every passage we've read in this Story of Jesus series, there's much here that challenges us as we hear it and that encourages us as well. I want to take just a few minutes to think about what we learn here in chapter 9 of John's Gospel about the story of Jesus and what difference that can make and will make for my life and your life today in the middle of this complicated and messy world that we live in. And the first thing I want to notice is that this story begins with Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 9. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. I hadn't noticed that until this week. But the first thing that happens in the story of the man getting healed from blindness is that Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him. Now, if you were here with us a few weeks ago, back in John 6, as we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, you might remember there was the same thing happened. Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd of people coming towards him. Then it was thousands of people. Here it's just one person that Jesus sees. And just as a few weeks ago, Jesus sees the hunger that the crowd are coming with, so today, Jesus sees this man's need. As a blind person in that society and culture, he would have been excluded from almost everything in the society, cut off, dependent on the charity of those around. Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him. And the man who could not see, Jesus sees. What a picture of grace this morning. Jesus sees the man. What do other people see in this passage? Did you notice as Amy was reading that first part? In verse 2, what do the disciples see? Well, they see a sinner, a problem, a debate, a discussion. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? They see a sinner, not a person, but a sinner, a non-person. And their question just reflects the society that they were brought up in. That was the assumption of those around, that if you were suffering in some way, it was your fault or possibly your parents' fault. The disciples see a sinner. How about verse 8, the neighbors, those who lived around this person. What do they see? Well, the neighbors see a beggar. Doesn't have a name. Isn't this the guy who used to beg on the side of the street, the kind of person you would cross over the road to avoid, do your best not to get too close to, probably smells and is generally just not someone you want to be near. That's who they see, a beggar, a non-person. And then at the end of the passage that Alan read for us, the religious leaders, verse 34, who do they see? They see someone steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They again see this person as a less than a person, a non-person, someone to be ignored, someone whose opinion and view and voice does not count. It's only Jesus who sees the man, who sees his situation and his need. And Jesus rejects the assumption the disciples have made in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, says Jesus. But so that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, says Jesus, I am the light of the world. And I wonder if you can hear in those words the passion that Jesus has for those he sees, those he meets, and the needs and the suffering that they carry. Jesus is desperate to share light into these people's lives. And I guess that's the first challenge this morning from this passage for us. Jesus sees the man. What do we see? When we are walking to Sainsbury's and there's someone sat there asking us for money. When we turn on our TV screens or scroll through our social media feeds and we see images from another country, a war in a foreign land. What do we see? Are we, like the disciples, like the neighbors, like the leaders here, often jump into conclusions and judgments? Do we see the people as Jesus sees them? And that's a challenging thought for us today. It's also, if we turn it around, an encouraging thought, because Jesus sees the man while he sees you and me, and he sees the burdens and the struggles and the suffering that we carry with us here this morning. And Jesus longs to shine light into darkness wherever Jesus finds it. The disciples and the neighbors are fixated on this man's past. It's only Jesus who's interested in his future. And so in verses 6 and 7, after saying this, Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That is one of the briefest healing stories in the whole Bible. Very compact. But let's not miss the significance of what Jesus does as he heals this man. Why does Jesus spit on the ground and make mud and put it on the man's eyes? Surely Jesus could have spoken a word and the man would be healed. He's done that in John 5 and John 6. Why the mud? Why the ground and the earth and the dirt getting involved? Well, Jesus is pointing us back to the very beginning of the Bible. Another story, Genesis 2 and verse 7, where we read, God formed a man from the dust of the ground. What Jesus is doing here is picturing for us that he is creating new life. Jesus creating new life. And then we remember John 1 and verse 2 about the Word, Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. And we suddenly realize that what's happening in this story is Jesus is showing us who he is. That he is the one who from the beginning has been creating new life. And he is still today creating new life. I wonder whether our home groups this week, we might share with one another some stories, some examples of how we are seeing Jesus creating new life today. Because for this man who was blind, his life, now that he's been healed and he can see, has been transformed. He can see, so he's no longer dependent on charity and those around him. He's been to the pool, the water. Perhaps there's an image there of the Spirit, of baptism, being washed and made alive. What a wonderful picture of the new life that Jesus creates. And just before we finish today, I want us to notice how the man responds. It's always good, isn't it, to look at the Bible and see how people respond to Jesus. How do we respond today to Jesus? Jesus says to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." What does the man do? So the man went and washed. And at the very simplest level, what the man born blind does is he follows Jesus. He does what Jesus told him to do. He follows Jesus. Simple. And here is the second challenge for us this morning. If it's so simple to follow Jesus, why is it so rare? Why is it so rare in my own life and your life that you hear something Jesus says to you and you do it, as this man did, goes to the pool and washes? How often do we get up and go when Jesus calls, when Jesus sends, and do things not because we might profit somehow out of them, not because they might be enjoyable things to do, not because other people are doing them, but because Jesus told us to do it? How often has that happened for us? This man follows Jesus. I wonder this morning whether for some of us, perhaps for all of us sat here, there is some way, some place, some situation where Jesus is calling you to follow him and waiting for your response, as this man got up and went to wash in the pool of Siloam. And perhaps if you're thinking, well, I haven't heard Jesus' voice calling me to do something. Then I'd ask you another question. Well, have you been listening for Jesus' voice? Have we been reading and praying? We're now in the period of Lent, aren't we? And many folks historically have fasted during this period from something, at least. Not too late to begin. The man follows Jesus. Follows Jesus. What a challenge for us this morning. And then lastly, the second thing the man does. We see this in throughout the whole chapter if we read the whole thing. The man's life has been transformed. And so much so that people can't stop asking him, what's happened? And over the course of this chapter, there are four occasions where this man has the opportunity, because someone's asked him, to share his story. To simply, again, it's simple, not easy, simple, simply share what Jesus has done for him. And he tells it in verse 11 and verse 15 and verse 25 and verse 30. This is what Jesus did for me. And just like the Samaritan woman that Anthony was preaching about a few weeks back, who ran back to her village and told her friends, I think we found the one we've been waiting for. This man shares his story. And that's not easy. He faces accusation. He faces insults. Ultimately, he's thrown out of the synagogue of the local religious community. And that would have hurt. He doesn't have all the answers. He says, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not. But verse 25, one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. And friends, there's something that the man says in verse 9, which I want to finish with before we sing. Something the man says in verse 9, where there's this debate going on. You may have heard, picked it up when Amy was reading, where people are saying, well, is this the guy? Is this the person who was blind? Is this the beggar? And some of them say, yeah. And others say, well, it just looks like him. Maybe his twin brother. It's not the guy. And the man in verse 10 insisted, I am the man. I am the man. I haven't stopped being that person who was begging. I'm not ashamed to say that that was me. That is me. He's not pretending to be somebody else. Accepting who he is. The same person changed by meeting Jesus. And friends, when we share our story, I want to encourage us this morning, encourage myself as well. We don't need to pretend to be someone we're not. We don't need to try and copy somebody else. Not this man, not anybody else. But simply be the people we are to share the story of how Jesus has changed us. Not to copy someone else. And I've come across this week some rhythms. Period of Lent, as we say. We're not making a big deal of Lent this year as church, but if we put the next screen up, please, Lou. Yeah, thank you. Four life-changing rhythms, which you might like to look at over this period of Lent and beyond. These are from the Great Commission website. A guy called Phil Knox put these together as a suggestion. Again, simple suggestions. That once a day, we might pray for a friend who doesn't know Jesus. Once a week, we could look for a way to bless someone who doesn't know Jesus. That could be making them a meal. Could be phoning them up, dropping a card around. Whatever it might be. Just a simple way of blessing somebody. For no reason other than simply to bless them. Once a month, to open up. To look for an opportunity to go deeper in a friendship, in a relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Once a year, to read a book about sharing our faith with others. And I've got some ideas and suggestions of books you could read if you'd like to ask me. So simple ways. Again, in home groups this week, we could look at those and discuss and support and encourage each other as we think about how we share our stories.